Okay, so this is the second Dhamma talk of the day. I spoke earlier of the first of the four right efforts, avoiding. So by you coming here at all, you secluded yourself from your normal lives. That was your kaya viveka. So you're going to avoid those distractions for the next, I guess it's 8 or 9 days till the 23rd. There's also smartphone viveka. You handed in your smartphones. Now, we just meditated for a good 2.5 hours together earlier. And the instructions were pretty simple, you know, just know that you are breathing. Or can you feel every place on your body? What does it feel like? Where is it? Or just have a sense of the space in the room. Now, those might be simple sounding instructions, but it's surprisingly challenging to do that without getting lost in thoughts. Okay, well, there was just a question now. The practitioner felt almost like a balloon expanding. Unexpected bodily sensations can happen during these meditations. It can be many different possible surprises like this. Sometimes people feel like there's ants crawling on their head, but there's no ants. They would swear there's ants up there, there's no ants. The first few retreats I went on that were 10-day retreats, I had some really weird feelings too. Not this one you're talking about, not this expanding thing like a balloon, but other weird things. Weird things like I'd never felt before, and I'm like, where did this come from? I don't even remember this ever happening to me. And I would just say, do one's best to stick with the object of meditation. Now, if this is very disturbing to you, you should approach Sister Bimi or myself to mention this. Hopefully, it's not so bad that it's like, how can I put it? Distressing, you know what I mean? Psychologically. If it's just kind of weird, you're in a, whoa, what's this kind of way? Well, that's not distress. You know, just be patient with it. It'll change. It'll, you know, maybe it'll go away later on or tomorrow or, you know. I had some weird feelings that took several days to go away. Several days of meditating, and I thought, like, when's this going to end? It did end. It was really weird. I had these strange feelings inside my spine. I won't get too into it, but you know, sometimes I'm talking to fellow monks, or you know, we have some strange stories to tell each other, and we you know. But the technique doesn't really change. You know, can we stay mindful of our breath, mindful of our body? It is sufficient just that you could feel that. That is sufficient to keep you in the present. That's what we are moving towards, is present moment awareness, some sort of comfort in the present. We might not be floating in the clouds all heavenly, but, you know, any comfort is good enough, especially on day one. Well, yes, it almost certainly will subside, yeah. I don't know how long it's going to take, though. Yeah, expect the unexpected. I've heard many strange stories of what people experienced. And you might wonder, like, you know, what's happening to me? But just trust that this will kind of sort itself out. It will sort itself out. And you may never really know why you felt that. You may never get any satisfying explanation. Well, why? What's up with this expanding and contracting? Why that? You know? You may never really have a good explanation of quite why. It's just something to, you know, you had awareness of your body, you're developing mindfulness. Just trust that these things sort themselves out. The first several retreats I went on, I had several weird things come up. However, once they passed, once they finally went away, they never did come back. They never did come back. So, I've been a monk 16 years, and those really weird things at the start never did come back. What I can say is this, and, you know, I say this with perspective, looking back on my lay life before I ordained. I was living a stressful life as a lay person, a busy life, and it was almost like sometimes there were more things happening in my life than I could even process. You know what I mean? It was almost as though when I went to the meditation retreat, it's like there was a backlog of difficult emotions and stress, unpleasant emotions. It's like it's as though there was some emotional processing which I needed to do, but was avoiding. And then once I came to the retreat, okay, then it was all those emotions came up, and it was time to face them. Okay, so, you know, at least a few of you are probably going to go through this too. you perhaps have got some unprocessed emotions, unprocessed backlog of various things. And now that you're slowing your life down here at the retreat, now that stuff is going to come up. And your job as a meditator is to face it and accept it. I had some very difficult things come up, like anger and like anxiety, and for a long time too, like, you know, days would go by when these things wouldn't go away. It was as though I had been running away from like an 800-pound gorilla in my life, and then on the retreat the gorilla looked me in the face. And I just had to be patient, and I just had to face it. And it was difficult. So I hope there's no 800-pound gorilla following anybody here from their lives. Metaphorically speaking. But you might just find out, you know? You might just find out, yeah. And just face it. It'll never go away if you don't face it. So this is your challenge, if you have got one of these. It may be one of the hardest things you ever face. For me, yeah, those first two retreats, they were the hardest retreats ever. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life, was to go on those retreats. There was a lot of difficult emotions. So if any of you are going through that, I can relate. It's very hard. But eventually, it does go away. It cools off. It's almost like those emotions needed to be felt. They needed to be faced. They needed to be given their due attention. Okay, so yeah, expect the unexpected. Even though we're in this room, it's a pleasant room with a nice fan, air conditioning, it's all pleasant. All of our needs are taken care of here. But this, you know, it's weird because we don't really know what the people around us are going through. You know what I mean? You can see the look on their face, I suppose, but you never know. Everyone has their own work to do, their own issues to face. And yeah. Something I did want to mention is, so in the morning and when we meet at 6 o'clock in here, from 5:30 to 6, my plan is behind this room is the so-called Sangha reception on the other side of this wall behind me. From 5:30 to 6, I'll be in there drinking my morning coffee. And you're welcome to come in that room and make tea or coffee yourself. And now, noble silence is now in effect, meaning like, by default, let's say nothing. Although if there's some reason to speak, you know, like, oh, are there any more dish towels? Or, you know, where can I find, I don't know what, a bandage, I cut my finger. Okay, that speech, yes. You know, just functional speech. That's allowed. Now, this 5:30 to 6 a.m., I'm going to relax that just a bit, the noble silence. If you really want to, you... please approach and... for a couple of minutes, it's okay to do a check-in. A check-in means like, you know, hello, my name is so-and-so. Here's where I'm at. I'm just, you know, I'm going through a difficult time or, you know, this is how I feel. And, you know, say what emotion you're feeling. Maybe it's anger or anxiety or something like this. It's just a check-in. But please stop short of any... talk about outside of here, okay? So we're in the context of a retreat right now. We're in a monastery. Please don't go talking about, I got this stressful job in KL or this problems with this person or, you know. As soon as we start talking about things outside the context, it's very easy to talk about the past or the future or whatever, and we leave the present moment behind. And, you know, we can get into kind of like almost storytelling outside the present moment. So the check-in's okay. Just how are you doing? How are you feeling? You know, what emotion are you feeling? That's okay. But we want to stay in the context of the retreat, and we want to stay in the context of the monastery. We're trying to stay in the present moment, even as we do that. You know, do you feel something weird in your body? Like your this balloon expanding thing, contracting. Okay, that's happening in the present. Yeah, go ahead and mention that. Okay, so that's an opportunity every day, 5:30 to 6, to do just a check-in and how are you feeling? Now, as we face these unexpected things, as we face the challenge of staying in the present and face the challenge of like just accept what's happening, face what's happening, but continue to trust the object of meditation. And can we find some kind of peacefulness in that object of meditation, despite these challenges? Your challenge is to meditate despite it. It's not like you're ignoring it. I'm not saying to ignore this. What I'm saying is to accept it, but also meditate despite it, meaning like you know it's there, you know it's happening, but don't lose your object of meditation at the same time. So this is a great example of the second of the four right efforts. Okay, so I spoke earlier of avoiding or just secluding. Now the second right effort is overcoming. The Pali word gets translated as letting go. So the Pali word here is pahanaya, giving up or letting go, removal, abandoning. I like the word overcoming. Okay, so when you have these unusual emotions that come up or unusual sensations that come up, that is something to let go, something to abandon. It's not like we're ignoring it, but we're just sort of allowing it to gradually go away on its own. And once it goes away on its own, we've overcome it. It's a little bit like a mosquito bite, let's say. It itches, we want to scratch it, but no, the best thing to do is leave it alone. We just tolerate it. And then eventually it stops itching and it goes away on its own. So we have overcome it, you see. We let go of the need to scratch it. We just abandoned that we're going to do anything about it. Okay, and then it goes away, we've overcome it. Or maybe we're having a hard time letting go of some issue. You know, maybe we are thinking over, I don't know, an argument we had last week. Or we're thinking over or somebody we're very attached to. We can't stop thinking about them. or there's some, you know, world issue, some world event, and we're just very, very passionate about that event or about that cause, and we really want to speak out about it. We want to see some change in the world about it, and we're really, it's really on our minds, you know. So Buddhism would say, well, if we can't let it put it down, we can't let go of it, that's attachment. It keeps popping in our minds over and over. Maybe you heard a really good song and that song keeps coming back in your mind and you're like, no, no, when will that song go away? No. Okay. Whatever keeps popping back in your mind over and over, Buddhism would say that's attachment. In Buddhism, that's not just a problem, that is the problem. That's, we're really working to let those things just fade away. Just like a mosquito bite. Once it fades away, we've overcome it. Maybe we'll wake up tomorrow and finally, that song's not in our head anymore. Okay, we've overcome the song. Now, you know, maybe there's some issues in the world you care about deeply. I think everybody does. Issues, yeah, something should be done. Buddhism is not saying to quit caring about those issues, because they should be cared about. But what Buddhism is saying is, can we put it down, though? Can we put it down, though? Okay? Can we let that attachment just settle down? At the end of the retreat, that issue will still be there. You can think about it then, if you choose. But for the next several days here, till the 23rd, let's just put these things down. Take a break from them. If we can put these things down, good, we're not attached. If we can't put them down, well, that's gonna make it really hard to find the peacefulness that we wish we could get in meditation. That's gonna make it very hard to attain samadhi. There's nothing wrong with believing in causes in the world. There's nothing wrong with having good relationships with people, you know, good families, good, you know, enjoying things. Since you're lay people, of course, you're not Buddhist monks and nuns. Of course, you're going to be enjoying things, worldly things. But Buddhism would just politely suggest, go ahead and enjoy those things, but can you just stop short of obsessing about those things? As soon as we get obsessive about anything, that's when things start to turn a little too unhealthy. Once it gets stuck in our minds and we can't put it down, that's something we're obsessing over. So Buddhism points at that obsessing and says, okay, that needs to be cooled off. Back to kind of a healthier place where we can put it down. So the Buddha isn't saying, don't enjoy anything. He just wishes for us to see when we're crossing the dotted line into obsession, and that's when it's too much. That's excessive. We'll live much more peaceful lives once we get really skilled at stopping short of getting obsessive about things. There's usually some kind of a sign, some kind of a hint, some sense. Oftentimes we'll feel it in our body. You might feel it in our guts. Oftentimes our body will give us a hint. You know, you might want to stop right here. You know? Here's the dotted line. You might not want to go any further. I strongly suggest whenever you get any hint like that, always listen. If your body's telling you, here's the dotted line, listen. It's right every time. And then, you know, it's understandable. It's an easy mistake to make when we do go past the dotted line, you know. We didn't just take one piece of cake. No, we couldn't resist. We took two. And it was that second piece was too much. No, you know. Well, then there's the overcoming of bringing that back to a place where it's more, I don't know, moderate. So, you know, Buddhism's about the middle way. Do things in a moderate way. And that's to overcome that excessiveness. There's a saying, I believe it is the Norwegians, they have this pretty good saying. It's this isn't Buddhist, but it's pretty good. It's he knows everything who knows when to stop. I wouldn't say, you know everything, it's, not Nibbana, but it's, there's an awful lot of problems in our lives we can avoid if we can just know when to stop. In all kinds of things we do. There's a limit to everything. That would be avoiding the first of the right efforts. Just avoiding crossing the dotted line into excessiveness. That's avoiding. And then once we cross the dotted line into obsessiveness or excessiveness, oh, now we have to overcome that, come back to the moderate place again. The moderate zone again. So life is kind of like an art where we learn to do this. We learn to do this in many aspects of our life. It can be applied in many ways. Let's say to relationships, or eating, or how we use smartphones, or, there's so many ways to apply this. Okay, well, that's enough for now. But, all right, so let's, there's still an hour and 20 minutes till 9 o'clock. And I would invite you to meditate, either sitting or walking. And expect the unexpected, but continue to have an object of meditation. And please do your best, find some easy object meditation, despite whatever surprises come. Okay. All right, thank you.